All right, y'all, welcome to the Scott Horton Show. I am the director of the Libertarian Institute, editorial director of antiwar.com, author of the book Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan, and I've recorded more than 5,000 interviews going back to 2003, all of which are available at scotthorton.org. You can also sign up for the podcast feed. The full archive is also available at youtube.com/ScottHortonShow. All right, y'all, introducing Jonathan Hafitz, Senior Staff Attorney at the ACLU. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Very well, and yourself?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you joining us here. And, you know, I read this incredibly interesting story. I'm not sure if I ever heard about this specific case or not. Adham Amin Hassoun. I hate to quote the Daily Beast, but I do somewhat respect Spencer Ackerman, so okay. It's a Spencer Ackerman article at the Daily Beast, and it says here that you guys have been representing this guy and that he has been held since when and for what again?
It's a good question. He's been held, well, he was convicted in the 2000s for what's called material support for terrorism. But as the judge in his case found, he actually had nothing to do with a group like Al-Qaeda. And was not directed at the U.S. Essentially, he was caught up in some kind of broader operation, and he was convicted of basically giving money to or supporting charities in places like Chechnya that were intended to, you know, assist people there during conflicts in Bosnia and Chechnya. Nothing directed at the United States, and he was caught up in the overreaction and the sweeping abuse of authority after 9/11. He was convicted and he was sentenced to a term of imprisonment. The government sought to sentence him to a longer term, much longer term, but the judge refused, said he was not a threat to the U.S. national security. And so the case was done, and then he was released from his prison term ended. And he's a although he's a longtime resident in the United States, he's not a, you know, his family here, children born here, sister. He's not a citizen, and so he was ordered removed from the country. He was going to be deported after his term of imprisonment ended. The problem is that he's stateless Palestinian. He was born in Lebanon, doesn't have Lebanese citizenship, and the government was not able to locate a country to deport him to. I think in part because this administration's ability to conduct diplomatic negotiations has been totally stymied by the Trump administration, which has gutted the State Department. But in any event, they couldn't find a place to transfer him to. So rather than letting him go after they were unable to deport him, they decided to keep him locked up on one of the most sweeping versions of executive power that I've ever seen. They've invoked the Patriot Act, which was the legislation passed right after 9/11, overbroad legislation, and they've latched onto a provision that they actually haven't used in 20 years since the back almost 20 years since the act was passed, and the provision says that if a non-citizen is ordered removed from the country, ordered deported, and they can't be removed, and it's clear there's no country that they can be sent to, they can be detained indefinitely if they pose, quote, a threat to national security or the public safety, end quote. And so they have invoked that, claiming that Mr. Hassoun is a threat to national security and can't be released. We think this is an unconstitutional statute. It essentially allows for the government to imprison people without charge. But we've also said, well, if you're going to invoke it, you've at least got to give him a fair hearing in court. And we've been fighting for that for the last 6 months. The government's view was initially that if they invoked the statute, that there were no review. If the executive said you're a threat to national security, that's the end of the story. There's no judicial review of the facts. No one gets to examine them. It's just trust us. We think this person's a danger. We get to lock him up maybe for the rest of his life. And we've challenged that in court and we're ready to go for a hearing, all set to where we're ready to challenge and expose the government's allegations as lies. We're supposed to start this on Wednesday of this week, Wednesday, November 24th, it was supposed to start. And the government at the last minute said, guess what? We have no case. We can't prove our case. But it's still trying to keep him locked up.
So they've admitted they don't have a case to present, or they're not hiding behind secrecy or anything like that?
They're not hiding behind secrecy. There's no secrecy. There's no classified information. They said we can't meet the burden that the district court established in the case. Under the district court's rulings, we cannot prevail. And that means that they can't prevail before a court where they have to show that Mr. Assoon is a danger. And the judge initially imposed.
So, but then their argument is, but they shouldn't have to show that he's a danger because they can do this anyway.
That's exactly right. Their view is the fundamental error was that the judge actually required that we have to put on proof. So the only way they win the case is if the judge, if the appeals court says, you're correct, government, you don't need to put on any evidence. And the judge erred by actually holding a hearing, providing a fair process and making you provide some shred of credible evidence to back up your claims. But as we maintain and I think is manifest, if there's the Constitution requires that you get a hearing before you're locked up for the rest of your life and you get a chance to examine the evidence and to present your side to the judge, then the government loses. But their position is chilling.
I mean, does it matter that he's a legal immigrant and not an illegal immigrant or anything like that? I mean, clearly his protections are going to be less, but we're talking about not deporting him, but locking him up. So,
great question. It makes no difference. He's in the United States. He's protected by the due process clause as a longtime resident. I mean, the theory the government's invoking here is the same one it invoked against U.S. citizens after 9/11, in the military detention context, where it said we can lock you up indefinitely based on executive say so. And I think it's another excellent point you make, which is he's not challenging his removal. Indeed, he's eager to participate. He loves Americans. He's had many wonderful experiences in the United States, but he wants to just be free, and he would be eager to go to another country just to live his remaining years in freedom and peace. So he's not challenging his right to remain in the U.S. He's just challenging his right not to be locked up, that if they can't deport him, and he can't be removed, at least until another country is found, he shouldn't have to languish behind bars.
Hey guys, Scott Horton here for Mike Swanson's great book, The War State. It's about the rise of the military-industrial complex and the power elite after World War II, during the administrations of Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower, and Jack Kennedy. It's a very enlightening take on this definitive era on America's road to world empire. The War State by Mike Swanson. Find it in the right-hand margin at scotthorton.org. Hey, y'all, Mike Swanson is a successful Wall Street trader with an Austrian school understanding of the markets, and therefore he has great advice to share with you. Check out Mike's work and sign up for his list at wallstreetwindow.com. And that's what you'll get, a window into all of Mike's trades. He'll explain what he's buying and selling and expecting and why. I know you'll learn and earn a lot. wallstreetwindow.com. That's wallstreetwindow.com. How much of your case is, first you're just trying to get the hearing, but then obviously you have a case that you would like to present that he's not a threat. But first you're trying to argue that they can't even do this. This is an unconstitutional overreach. Or how resigned are you to their power as you said, he's not contesting his removal. But, as you said, he's a Palestinian refugee. He can't go home. And so, since he has nowhere to go, do they have the right to lock him up indefinitely with one good hearing?
No, I think they absolutely do not. This issue came up in a case called Zedvitas versus Davis, which decided in June of 2001. And it happens in a number of cases. In this case, involved where you have someone who's been ordered removed based on a criminal conviction, including, perhaps for, violent offenses of violence. The people in the Zedvitas case had been convicted of armed robbery and other violent offenses. They've served their time. And as in the Zedvitas case, they served their time and then it's time that, they get out it used to be the INS, the Immigration Naturalization Service. Now it's DHS or ICE. takes custody of them in order to remove them. But because of some, for some reason, they may have some issue. They can't, they're stateless, or there's a concern they'll be tortured in their home country. They can't be removed. And so the court in Zedvitas ruled that if a non-citizen is been ordered removed, but after some period of time, around 6 months or so, could be longer, but not much longer, if the government is unable to find a country to send them to, and their removal is not foreseeable, looks like they're not going to be able to find a country, they have to be ordered released unless they're going, that's it. You can't keep people locked up. So that was the settled law. And after that, the government the Congress passed the statute, the Patriot Act, and there was a provision in there saying that may be the law, but if we say it's national security, that's different. And then we can just keep you. And we think this is unconstitutional. Like, the government could not do this under any circumstances. And we've made that argument to the court. But the other argument, and the one that we've been focused on for the last, since last year, has been, if the government's going to do that, it has to at least give the person a fair hearing before a court, right? To put on evidence, to examine government witnesses, what anyone in there, what he understands is as basic due process, right? And that the judge agreed with us back in December in a ruling and said, I'm not going to decide whether they could do this if to someone who in fact does pose a threat to the security, but I want to find out what the facts are here first. And so I'm going to order a hearing. And she ordered a hearing in December. In January, she told the government that if you have to put on actual witnesses, you can't lie behind jailhouse informants and unreliable hearsay. And so we've been proceeding towards trial, and we were scheduled to have a 5-day trial, or it's a bench trial before the judge, starting on June 24th. And then 6 days before the trial was supposed to start, the government said they filed a notice saying we're moving to cancel the trial. Cancel the hearing because we can't meet the burden. We can't prove our case to a judge, basically. And so enter judgment, enter judgment for Mr. Assume. But then they said, instead of saying allow him to go free, they said enter judgment, but then stay your judgment, freeze your judgment, so we can appeal your decision to a higher court and keep him locked up while we fight over this question of whether we can imprison someone based solely on executive say-so.
Yeah. And now, so about this guy's statelessness in the first place, you said he's born in Lebanon, so his parents are refugees, I guess. Parents or grandparents, he's old enough. His parents are refugees from Israel, Palestine. But so they can't send him back to Lebanon, or if they did, he'd have to go to a refugee camp in Lebanon? And is that against the law that you can't send someone back to a refugee camp in Lebanon, or what's the deal with that?
Well, he can't. His removal is not possible. I think that they would have to, Lebanon would have to give him citizenship, but he's not able. They can't send him back there, so they're trying to find another country.
Just because Lebanon already said under no circumstances will they take him?
We don't have the full details, but doesn't have citizenship, so he's not able to go back there. Doesn't have residency there, so he's not a citizen there. So he's essentially he's stateless. He's stateless.
Maybe he could live at an airport somewhere.
Yeah, well, that would be better than his current situation in the federal prison in Batavia, which also has one of the highest COVID-19 outbreaks number of cases of institutions. So his hearing was supposed to be in April, but got just compounding the unfairness, got delayed for 2 months because of the COVID-19 mm-hmm. coronavirus crisis. So he's just been kind of languishing. He has health issues, and he also facilitate his prompt release, he also agreed to, I think what I would say are very stringent conditions, especially since, he's, as he maintains, is completely innocent, and the government hasn't put on any evidence to the contrary. But he just, in order to address any potential concerns a government or a court might have, he said, I will remain, essentially in home confinement in Florida, where a sister resides, and the government can watch me, they can surveil me, I don't care. I just don't want to be in jail anymore. I don't want to die in jail.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, and, you know, it is important here, too, as they say in the article, about how they were trying to get him to become an informant. In fact, this was, we found out later, I guess, I know you know this, but it took years for this to come out, that, in fact, they were trying to get Jose Padilla to become an informant, which raised a lot of questions why he was so dangerous that they had to turn him over to the military and the CIA, when, in fact, he was so harmless that they were going to put him on the streets if only he would be a rat for them. And apparently it turns out all that they dished up for him was really punishment also for not going along. Call it the Randy Weaver treatment. You either become an informant for the government or else then we're coming after you. And so, in other words, this guy never really did anything in the first place. Oh, they accused him of sending some money, I guess, and he said that he was sending them to America's allies in the Balkans and Chechnya and Afghanistan, right? So what's the problem?
Right. It's something that if there it's something that happened before 9/11, and if there hadn't been a 9/11, he never would have been prosecuted. It's only because of that. I think that's exactly right. I think that's part of it. Is it because, you know, they claim he didn't do quote unquote cooperate or do what they want there? They are still kind of seeking to punish him, and it's very cruel.
Mm-hmm. Now, what exactly was his association with Padilla? Can you talk about that?
I mean, the very minimal, very minimal. I mean, this is in the criminal case, and just the government never proved really anything, and he never had much association with him. So it was, and so that was he was kind of lumped in. Well, really, I think Padilla was lumped in. One of the two were lumped into the same prosecution, and that I think was harmful to him. But at least he. At least he avoided a long, you know, the sentence that the government was trying to give him. And the judge said some very strong things about him, said, look, under the law, what you did may be a crime, but I don't think you pose a danger. I'm not going to give you the long sentence, double the sentence the government wants. And I think the judge would be appalled that that after serving his time, Mr. Assun is still, facing like, you know, years more of detention.
Right. Well, of course, I mean, Padilla was accused of plotting to set off dirty bombs and attack, you know, American civilian apartment complexes with radioactive, what have you. And so if this guy was associated with that, associated with him. I'm not saying that was true at all. Obviously, it was not. What I'm saying, that was, in fact, the accusations that they had tortured out of poor Binyam Mohammed into making against Jose Padilla. We know that. But if this guy had been tarred with those same accusations at the same time, is what I'm trying to say, that could have certainly been detrimental to his case back then, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, being tried with someone who was, you know, linked, even if unfairly, to this plot that was never proven and based on torture was not helpful at all for him.
Yeah. All right, so... and I'm sorry, tell me where it stands again as far as you have your hearing that has been ordered coming up again sometime soon?
Yeah, so the judge, the government moved, as I said, they essentially dropped their case that we can't prove our case. But they said issue a what's called a stay of release, right? They know he's going to be released, that there are actually agreed upon conditions in place if he's ordered release. But they said don't order his release. We want you to stay it, and then if you don't do that, we are considering going to a court of appeals to try to get them to stay it and freeze his release and keep him locked up. So the judge, we're now in the process of filing legal papers on whether the judge should stay his release even after the government said they couldn't put on any evidence against him at the hearing that she ordered.
Now, by the term stay, I mean, that has a ring of temporariness to it, but it sounds like what you're saying is they want to invoke national security and say that under this statute, under this part of the Patriot Act, they can keep this guy for the rest of his life. Nothing temporary about it. That the government, the court, they're asking the court to butt out and let them continue to hold the guy, right or not?
Right. Well, that's their bottom line position is that if you know, they're not saying they will, but they're saying they have the power to keep him for the rest of his life.
Yeah, never mind making a case. That you're right. We can't make a case against him, but we don't feel like we have to. That's beside the point.
Correct. Uh-huh. But the stay is just to keep him imprisoned while the appeal plays out. That is, while the appeals courts decide whether the government, whether the government's theory is, has any validity, which it totally, it does not have any, that they can keep him for life. But what that means is Mr. Assoon, practically speaking, would be in jail for months, even years more, while the appeals courts decide whether or not the government's totally bogus theory is bogus, right? So it's just another way to game for the government to try to game the legal system. Right. And manipulate it to try to keep him locked up, which after they didn't put on any evidence, they didn't even try. And that's right. What's so appalling about this case.
Well, and here's the thing, too, is that in all those indefinite detentions, including Jose Padilla and including all of a couple thousand American Muslims who were rounded up and held as material witnesses and all these things, that this is the first time, you said, that they have invoked this part of the Patriot Act that's been hiding out there, that Bush and Cheney never tried to invoke this provision that said,
nope.
I mean, this is like Israeli administrative detention. After your sentence, we get to keep holding you.
Exactly what it is. And it's, you know, we think it's unconstitutional and at a minimum, you just have to have a fair hearing.
Maybe we can ask Joe Biden. He wrote the Patriot Act, right?
Right. Well, I think we hope he would be a future administration, another mission wouldn't do this once they actually see, at least, even if they want to have the power for the, you know, for some future case, we don't think it's constitutional, but even if they wanted, they would think it's just a total abuse to do it here. And it's just cruel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least we have a choice. We can count on the guy who wrote the thing to hopefully maybe not enforce that part of it coming up. So big choice coming up in our election, everybody. But yeah, no, all kidding aside, well, as is obvious on the face of it, but it shouldn't just go without saying all the time, if you guys weren't fighting this fight, there might not be somebody fighting it. And, at the bottom line, you know, if there's nobody there to stick up for the Bill of Rights, we don't have one. So thanks.
Well, thank you. And thanks for your time.
Appreciate that. All right, you guys, that is Jonathan Hafitz. He is senior staff attorney at the ACLU. And you can read all about this case, Spencer Ackerman, at the Daily Beast. Government case collapses against man jailed indefinitely under Patriot Act. The Scott Horton Show, Anti-War Radio, can be heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, APSradio.com, antiwar.com, scotthorton.org, and libertarianinstitute.org.